vienen de acá. Hombres, niños y mujeres.
Buenas noches, you're listening to Radio Zapatista, broadcasting live from the Day Labor Center in Hayward. I want to give a shout out to Carlos Salinan and Henry Coromaco, who are here with us tonight. Also going to be on the mics is special guest Jose Palafox, border activist and director of New World Border. I also got my compañera Victoria.
Buenas noches.
And I'm Jessica, and I want to thank Mr. Chuch Falcon and Mr. Pedro Reyes for being on the controls tonight. We've got some updates from Lomas de Poleo. We're keeping up on the situation there, which we talked about 2 months ago. We'll also be doing an interview with folks in Humboldt who've been organizing around a raid that happened recently there. And then we'll hit you up with some announcements of stuff going on. But we're going to kick it off with an interview with Father Bill Martin from El Paso, Texas, who was a former resident of Lomas del Poleo and is still working with the community. And the interview was done by Alejandro, our compañero down in Mexico.
So thank you for being with us here at Radio Zapatista. And we know you've been following the situation there in Lomas del Poleo. I wonder if you could give us a sort of a brief background on what is the situation, what happened there.
Probably the most simple way to understand it is a man named Luis Urbina wanted to settle on this area. There's about 370 hectares of land that border the state of New Mexico. So in 1974, he investigated whether the land was owned by anyone. He spoke by telephone with a man named Pedro Zaragoza Vizcarria, who's a very wealthy entrepreneur. Mr. Zaragoza said he didn't know anything about the land, and Mr. Urbina applied to the federal government to settle there, and he invited other people to come up to this mesa area to settle. And that community existed and increased in number until about 1992. In 1992, the children of Pedro Zaragoza began to go to the court system to try to recapture ownership of this land, which they were never able to do. So in May of 2003, the Zaragozas got the electric company, accompanied by the police, to go up onto the mesa and literally pull out all of the infrastructure for electricity. Let's say within a week of having pulled the electricity out, the Zaragozas sent a vigilante group, about 300 men, and they settled right at the edge of the community. They would have been ex-prisoners, ex-police, young gang members who were on drugs. They harassed the people 24 hours a day. They made holes in the road. They built a dormitory, and they started building the white cement posts. And they also built a huge metal gate and a guardhouse and a watchtower. So by May of 2004, they sealed the road off again so nobody could get in or out of Lomas de Poleo unless you went past the guard tower.
So basically this is sort of like concentration camp, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Where people are locked up in their own neighborhood and they have to ask permission to go in and out of their own place of living.
Exactly, because what they were doing was kind of terrorizing the people, so it becomes more and more difficult to sustain your living on the land. And you have to be living on the land in order to get these titles from the federal government. And then the Grupo Zaragoza employees, the gang, whatever you want to call them, that were living up there, they were knocking down a house, and they had a confrontation with four men who were living up on the mesa. And about 45 of the Zaragoza workers set upon the men. One man was beaten so badly he died about 24 hours later. There was also a house was burnt down, and there were two children, Magdaleno and Armencita.
What is the interest behind all of this? Why are the Zaragoza so interested in this piece of land, in complicity with the city government, in this state government? Right?
Yeah. One of the main things is that this 370-hectare piece of land, which if you're most Americans think in terms of acres, so that's about almost 1,000 acres of land, it borders New Mexico. I became aware that there was a much bigger development project between the city of Juarez, El Paso, and New Mexico. And this was not like a small project. This is something that involved billions of dollars and involved players like Pedro Zaragoza, Eloy Baena, William Sanders, the governments of Chihuahua, the governments of New Mexico, and that these people had very detailed plans to create a new port of entry right on the land that Zaragoza was trying to get.
What's the situation right now? We've heard news of recent developments that have been very alarming. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. There was a lawyer who had been involved in the case. His name was Carlos Avitia. And in June, he was murdered. He came out of the court. He went to his car, and a Jeep Cherokee with tinted windows went by his car, lowered the windows, and they basically decapitated Avitia. They shot his head off. That sent a real shudder of fear through people. 2 weeks ago on Saturday, the Zaragoza guards knocked down two houses of people who were living up there. And then they sent a group of gang people. They had shovels and sticks and stuff like that because they wanted to remove the rubble from the couple's house so that there would be no evidence that the house had ever been there. Also, I mean, the people were really under a state of siege. This past Monday, the 6th of October, various nonprofit groups in Juarez put together a paid advertisement in the newspaper El Diario saying what all of these various violations of human rights and law were and accusing the Zaragoza brothers Pedro and Jorge Zaragoza of being behind all of this violence and intimidation. And apparently the Zaragozas were very upset by this paid advertisement. So the next day in the newspaper, they tried to rebut all the accusations in the paper. And two of the people who have been very involved in accompanying the people on the Mesa, they live in a different part of Juarez. The day after this paid advertisement came out, the people from Zeta Gas is owned by Jorge Zaragoza. They went to this couple's house and they said, "We have an order to remove your gas meter and to cut off the gas because it hasn't been paid." But of course, it's been paid. They had all of their receipts. So they felt for sure that that was an act of intimidation by the Zaragozas, saying, like, "We know who you are, we know where you live."
Yeah, you know, our listeners should know that that letter was signed nationally in Mexico and internationally, and we heard from the people in Greece, a lot of people in Europe, in Spain, and France, and so on, and there is a very large number of organizations who said that they are ready to begin actions. The people in Europe are following this very closely and are ready to begin doing actions to show the Mexican government that this case in Ciudad Juarez is not isolated, it's not alone, and there is international visibility. What would you tell our listeners? What can people do to try to help?
I think the first thing is just to know about what's going on. So I'm very grateful that your radio program has given publicity in the past and is giving it today. And we do believe that if they contact, for example, the governor of New Mexico, the private companies like Sanders, it's called Verde Realty. Zaragoza has his milk company, Lucerna Milk, Grupo Zaragoza, Zeta Gas, you know, to go directly to companies, email them, fax them, call them, say, "We know what's going up on the Mesa in Lomas de Poleo and it has to stop." And of course, going to whatever kind of representation you have from the Mexican government. And also to keep track, there's a website called Paso del Sur, and if there's any kind of a concerted action to do something, it would probably be posted on his website as well.
And we have a link to that website and other sources of information at our website in Radio Zapatista, is www.radiozapatista.org. Father Morton, thank you very much for being with us and doing this interview and helping us spread the word of this terrible situation down in Ciudad Juarez.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me on your show, and thank you for inviting so many people to offer their concern and support for the people under siege in Lomas de Poleo.
Todo cambiaría, fuera nuestra raza, mi compay. La... mandaría. Negro el presidente y el gobernador, negro el abogado y negro el doctor. Compay,
si Dios fuera negro, mi compay, todo cambiaría. Fuera nuestra raza, mi compay, la que mandaría.
Negra la azucena y negra la tiza, negra blanca nieve, negra Mona Lisa. Compay,
si Dios fuera negro, mi compay, todo cambiaría. Fuera nuestra raza, mi compay, la que mandaría.
Estoy algo más.
Bueno, yo tengo unas gomas blancas ahí que las doy baratas. Ahora, si las quieres con vaina negra, que valen más cara.
Oye, Panín, tú ves este tipo blanco que está aquí, así blanco como tú lo ves, tiene el corazón negro de buena gente.
Chico. Nada, que acaba usted de comerse la línea negra.
Muchacho, tengo una hambre blanca, me. Pero, ¿y qué jugamos?
Bueno, vamos a jugar a ocho blancos con el mingo negro.
You're listening to Radio Zapatista. You can check us out on www.radiozapatista.org. If you want to get the interview you just heard from Lomas de Poleo, you can also load it up from the website. And our next segment, we're going to focus on immigration. We've seen in the last couple months in Iowa, we had 389 of our people rounded up. And not only were they terrorized, but they were also charged with identity theft. And 305 of them were deported, and little legal advice was given during this raid. In August, in Mississippi, the largest raid, 595 from Howard Industries, a company that produces electrical transformers. In October, we saw more than 1,300 workers picked up in L.A. In October 7, we saw 300 people who were arrested in a poultry processing plant in South Carolina. So this is becoming an everyday thing. We're definitely interested in understanding what different forces are acting at this moment, what's different now from 20 years ago, from 10 years ago. And to go a little deeper into this topic, we're going to talk with a scholar and activist, Jose Palafox, director of New World Borders, and thank you, Jose, for being our special discussion guest tonight.
Yeah, if folks are interested, I did a film called New World Border, and it came out in 2001, and we're definitely updating it. Sort of the three themes that we tried to cover in that film definitely address the discussion that we've had with Father Bill Morton from El Paso and some of the stuff that the day labor workers were saying here, who are here with us tonight at the Day Labor Center. One is what we tried to do in that film is, why do migrants come here in the first place? You know, looking at the root causes of migration, things like the North American Free Trade Agreement, which, you know, Luis Zayas, then Undersecretary of Labor, in the early 90s stated that 10 to 15 million people were going to be driven off the land because of cheap U.S. agribusiness that was going to flood the Mexican economy. So here, being part of this Radio Zapatista and discussing the issues that the Zapatistas have been bringing up, but also working people, migrants here in the United States, connecting the issues of globalization and migration, was the first theme of the film. The second theme of the film that we were talking about, which is what you just talked about, the raids, relates to enforcement. And here, I think, especially since we're talking about the election, you know, in the last few weeks, I think it's really, really important to put the finger on the Clinton administration, the Democrats. Okay, it wasn't just the Republicans, but it was really, if you look at the militarization of the border, specifically Operation Gatekeeper, many of us remember that, you know, in October 1st, 1994, many agents came to the U.S.-Mexico border. So Operation Gatekeeper was a strategy to reduce unauthorized crossings in the San Diego-Tijuana border region. And what it basically sought to do was to push migrants into areas where it was harder to cross, into the desert, and to what they called terrain that the topography helped the migrants to push them into the desert. So what ended up happening was more people were crossing through Agua Prieta to Douglas and Bisbee, and what that ended up happening was that more migrants were dying. Okay, so we have close to 5,000 to 7,000 migrants that have died crossing or attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border. So I see these discussions about immigration enforcement in terms of raids, in terms of border militarization, and in terms of immigration laws, new laws that are being codified against undocumented immigration, as part of a four-phase strategy, you know, like borders, ICE prisons, internal enforcement, and laws. So that's some of the theme that the film addresses. And the last and the most important part that the film addresses is, how are people resisting that? You know, what are migrants doing to resist this? What are the different organizations? And I really do think maybe we can get into some of that. Like, what are the new ways to get into this new underground railroad to basically take a stand with immigrants to say that, you know, human life is more important than laws, and that people have a right to survive regardless of legal status.
So, Jose, you were talking about not only the ways that people are being repressed along the border, but also the way people are resisting discrimination of immigrants. I know that you participate in a lot of border activism. So could you talk a little bit about, like, the different strategies that people have used to kind of resist this repression that's been going on against immigrants?
Well, I guess, you know, in talking about resistance, I would say that the migrants themselves are the ones that are resisting, because they are not staying in their home countries and facing death. They're actually making a choice with their bodies by crossing that line and saying, you know, we have a right to survive. Human life is more important than laws. And so the migrants themselves are themselves resisting by literally crossing the border. But I think it's really important for us to really connect. And I know that you were going to make an announcement that there's this national network against the INS and ICE raid. So maybe we could, this would be a good time to mention that.
That's right. So October 12th is actually a national day against raids and deportations, and there are various actions going on across the country. Specifically for those of you in the Bay Area, this Sunday in San Francisco, there's going to be an action on 24th and Mission from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So please come out and support, and, you know, show that these communities, they're not just victims, they're actually active agents, and they are resisting to, you know, against this criminalization, against this dehumanization. So please, all of you, come out. That's 24th and Mission this Sunday.
Yeah, and we're going to take a little break right now, a little musical break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up with some announcements. Thanks again, Jose, for your time.
Yeah, before we go to the music break, Jose, where can people actually get more information about your movie, too, just real quick?
The film, New World Border, you can get it through AK Press. We actually distribute it there. So you can go to akpress.org.
That's www.akpress.org.
This is KPFA 94.1. You are tuned to La Onda Baja.
Ashanti, anarquista, pantera negra, troublemaker for the people, giving a shout out to Radio Zapatista. And do I say to all of you listening out there that I love you? If I did not say that before, I'm saying it now. I love you.
En los salones de baile, los bailadores me invocan al decir Cuba's mi rey. Andaba penando por el cine Teresa.
Okay, for those of you in the Bay Area, there's a lot going on this weekend. First of all, tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., we have an Indigenous Permaculture Seed Saving Conference, and that is taking place at the Intertribal Friendship House, 523 International Boulevard, Oakland, California. Right after that, also at the Intertribal Friendship House, there's a Peace and Dignity fundraiser at 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. Lots of performances, lots of food, music. Olmeca will be performing, Cihuatlce, and a whole lot more. On October 17th at 7 p.m., that's Friday, next Friday, the Teaching Rebellion, Stories from the Grassroots Mobilizations in Oaxaca, book release party, edited by Casa in Support Solidarity and Action Collective out of Chicago, and that's going to be between 19th and 20th in Oakland, California, 1919 Market Street. And that's it for now. Those are all the events going on. Thank you for listening to Radio Zapatista, and we hope to catch you next time.
Vamos.